From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And today's show is going to be about winning. We have an entrepreneur, Scott Emmerich, is going to come in and share the story. A little bit about East Wind Yoga. He's the owner of this a group of yoga studios, but we're really going to talk about how to win. And Scott is a guy that's got a tremendous background. He was a stockbroker, he was in the Army, and then discovered his love of yoga and really his love of helping others. And I'm really excited about this show because I get to dive in deep with Scott about my newfound love of yoga and how I really feel like it's changed my life. I think my life had changed in three ways when COVID hit a couple years ago. And one, I spent more time with my wife during this downtime. I think that brought us together in a good way. Two, we started the Growth Factory, our startup accelerator and our accompanying venture fund, you know, and we got off of some of the events we were doing, and the pause really helped us to decide to launch the Growth Factory, which has been extremely rewarding, and it's taking off, and I'll talk a little bit about that at the end of the show. But thirdly, it gave me this newfound desire to discover what's possible in health. Some of you know that I do CrossFit, and I have this, I don't talk about it too much, but I have this goal of pound for pound being the fittest 85-year-old man in the region, and I have like 26 years to get there, so I'm taking my time, but that's really what I want to do. But yoga, I didn't know where yoga might fit into that, and when COVID hit, I decided to step my foot in that door, and it really has changed my life, and I think it's going to be a key part of what's important to me in terms of health and fitness moving forward, and a key part of my journey in life. So stick around. You're going to hear me and Scott Emmerich talk about fitness, talk about how to think, and how to win in life. Stick around, my friends.
Entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy. They take the risks, create the opportunities, and move the molecules. Now, back to the Marquee Media Studio, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Super excited about today's show. I have my, I guess a person that's intimidated me, put me through torture over the last couple of years. And I don't know him as well as I would like to, but I have Scott Emmerich on the show. And so today I'm going to get to know him a little better. So super excited about that. And I actually miss you because I've been in Cabo for the last week and I haven't seen you in a week. I haven't been in for my my yoga torture lesson, but I'll be back tomorrow. So you are the owner of East Wind Yoga. And maybe if you don't mind, just give me a little bit more about your background.
In terms of yoga?
Why don't you start by just telling us how you got into yoga?
So my mother was talking to me about doing yoga, or really doing this activity. Didn't even really go into it too much as being yoga and not, back in 2000-ish. And finally, I went to go visit my brother and his girlfriend, or stepbrother and his girlfriend, and they took me to a yoga class. And I didn't know, I heard that the name of this teacher was that this guy was world famous, and you saw pictures of him all over Santa Monica. I think it was at Yoga Tree in Santa Monica. Anyway, I took that class, barely survived, lasted 20 minutes, had to get out. There's no windows in this room. So you talk about your experience in yoga being difficult. This room was packed mat to mat. The teacher sat in one place because he couldn't move. No windows. There was one door that you entered, and there was a emergency door. And they were both open. Other than that, there was no airflow, no, just bright lights. I lasted 20 minutes, and when I left, I was low blood sugar, dehydrated, I was angry, I was frustrated, I was annoyed, I was everything that I could be. But I also knew that that is what I wanted to do. So I practice every day, and I started with Bikram. Bikram is a person who brought hot yoga to the U.S. and really got me into yoga in a way that it's a static class, a repetitive class. So it's the same postures, taught with the same dialogue, in the same style of room. So bright lights, carpeted, no music. And I loved it. And I did it every freaking day. And then one day, a teacher didn't show, probably midway through my second year. And I was like, man, I know this. Because we're taught the same sequence every day. Okay. Same dialogue. And a teacher didn't show. And I said, I think I could do this. But I didn't have the guts. So I went and I studied it. And I said, if that happens again, I will teach it. And it happened again. And I taught the class. And it went 15 minutes too long. And in the Bikram world, that's a travesty.
Okay, I can imagine.
Yeah. And but I loved it. And I got good feedback. And I was one of those little, like a little kid that kid says, I want to do, give me. And I just kept asking, even though I wasn't certified. And in teaching Bikram, you're supposed to be Bikram certified. And I wasn't, but I still wanted to teach. And I literally pecked at them to the point where they were annoyed. And then all of a sudden, another teacher didn't show. And I started teaching on a regular basis.
So you became a teacher, but now you own a couple of studios. So how did that transition?
That was a year and a half after I started. And then about a year and a half after that, it was brought to my attention to that a student of mine down at Yoga Loca in Sacramento, which was my first studio, they were offered the opportunity to open up a studio in Fair Oaks, Roseville. And they didn't want to do it. The people who owned that studio didn't want to do it, but they offered it to me to manage it if I would do it. And I went and looked at it. And fortunately, my mother, she was a big part of this whole process. I took the loan out with her, and she talked me into, you know, you got to do this on your own. That's just the kind of person you are. And so I asked them if I could open it on my own. I did. Half the classes. So the schedule went hot, flow, hot, flow. So half the classes were hot, or the static class that I came from in Bikram. The other half were flow, which is a vinyasa or really any number of styles, but it's a moving series, and I had never done that. So I was literally setting up a studio where half the classes were a kind of class that I had never done.
Wow.
So when I set that up, I went and looked for classes that I could take. I took a couple of classes, and I literally made up my own flow sequence from day one.
Interesting.
So I have no teacher trainings, but I've been teaching for 18 years.
One of the things that you ask in class occasionally is give us some words of wisdom. You don't call on me. I think you called on me once. I can still hear you. And, but the I keep waiting for my next chance to be called upon. And it sounds, because one of my mantras is immerse yourself in what you love and then tell your wife you're going to work, right? That's the way I think. So COVID happens for me, you know, and I'm out without my gym, right? I'm CrossFit's closed, and I stumble across Eastwind, and I had gone to Eastwind, I think, like two or three times with my wife, I don't know, 5 or 10 years ago, and never completed it, never stayed with it. But then, and I'm tying back to kind of what you're, you know, your free thinking, your mom's encouragement to do it on your own. You're doing it, I think, in a way that's different, because when I stumbled onto Eastwind, every other business in Placer County was closed except you guys, right? So every gym at least was closed that I had any connection with, including CrossFit. I'm like, this guy's open. I love him, right? And even though you were torturing me, I didn't know really anything about yoga other than it was hard. And you don't mind not picking on me, but you don't mind correcting and coaching. And I just sort of felt, I guess I like the pain, the feeling of that, of being uncomfortable. And so now I guess I'm addicted because I'm going a lot. And so I want to thank you for that. And so thank you for staying open and being the free thinker that you are, but also you're providing, I think, something that is, it's changing people's lives that maybe thought they were just going to exercise, but really we're learning a lot more than that. So I guess I want to just take a minute to say thank you for that. So with that, what do most people get out of yoga? I mean, why do people do it? I know I have my thoughts, but I'm kind of curious as to what feedback you get.
Well, let's just roll back and say yoga is just a word.
Okay.
So how, and like any word, how you define it, how I define it, how anybody defines it, is probably going to be different. So the way I look at yoga is to be mind, body, spirit together. Okay. Now within that framework, and that's kind of cliche. Mm-hmm. You hear mind, body, spirit all the time. So, and I went through a transformation in my yoga teaching practice where initially, again, starting with Bikram, same thing every time. It's in my DNA to be creating, to always do, always look for that next fun thing. I've been a gatherer my whole life, get people together, whether it was flag football or paintball or skydiving or sailing, get people together. So to open a yoga studio and build a community was second nature to me. In regards to the yoga, there's so many different styles and so many ways and so many opinions and so many passions. So like you said, go with your passion, go with what you love. Well, I've loved the body and researched it on my own from weird ways of like, what is the ankle relationship to the knee? I would literally go on the internet and type in those kinds of questions and read what I read and then come up with my own, okay, that's what that means to me. So why is that important to the average Joe that's out there? And I created a passion for posture. And in that modality, I create a foot to forehead posture yoga class that drives me from the student out. And what I mean by that is you can have teachers that go teach yoga class all day long and they teach as a fog the words or what they're thinking down. So they'll come up with sequencing in a class and all this stuff, even jokes and all that stuff. It's what's in their head and this, they disseminate it to the room and it kind of falls on everybody like a fog. For me, I'll just look at who's in the room and say, okay, come into this posture, warrior one, for example. And now I know tendencies and from feet to forehead, I'm looking for, okay, what are feet tendencies? What are ankle tendencies? What are knee tendencies? We tend to collapse here. People tend to stand with their feet turned out, which means they collapse their ankles, which means they collapse their knees, which means their outer hip overworked. So with that said, I look at people from feet to forehead and teach my class from what I see.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So when you see, this is, my audience will know me a little bit, and people will know that I'm kind of a CrossFit type guy, right? So I like to do that type of stuff. Maybe raised in traditional sports, football, baseball, basketball, stuff like that. So I have bad habits, I have bad tendencies. So you've never, other than in the middle of class, making corrections, but what do you see when you see my weaknesses?
It's not even a matter of weaknesses because you're really strong. Okay. You particularly, you're a strong guy. So it's not that you are weak. You're actually a very strong asana practitioner, yoga posture practitioner. But what you mentioned is balance. It's how we've lived our lives. And for example, let's say you put your wallet in your back left pocket most of your life. Or let's say you carried a purse, not you, but a woman carried a purse on her right shoulder or carried her kid on her left hip more often than not. Through those ways that we live our life, we create balances and imbalances. We create muscles that we've used a lot and muscles that we haven't used at all and actually have gone dormant. Glutes, for example, oftentimes for people who sit a lot are dormant. So the glute, the bridge between the hamstring or the leg and the back, if those are dormant, then how's that going to affect your back? And where's all the nerve centers through that dictate where something's off? Oftentimes in the back. Yeah. So we feel it in the back. Say, I have a bad back. No, you don't have a bad back. You have a very smart back, actually. It's communicating to you. If you're smart enough to listen to it, then let's bring your body back into balance. So that's That's where I go. That's what I believe. That's how I believe I'm healing. There's a lot of other modalities out there, whether you're energy worker, whether you're Shakti worker or chakra or kirtan. There's all different ways people move other human beings. I'm posture driven.
One of the things, one of the terms that you've used, I've began to embrace was to start by talking about the body a little bit. You say length and strength, right? That's a common thing that you'll hear in one of your classes is, you know, you lengthen out so that you're stretched out in a way, and then you want to strengthen from that position and get the stabilization muscles and so on. Talk me through that and your discovery of that, because to me, I'm now obsessing on that in my own mind a little bit, like, oh, okay, this is going to correct a lot of what I know. You didn't bring up my weaknesses, but I know them, so I know some.
So think about what gravity is doing to us our entire life. It's not supporting us coming up. It's bringing us down. It's pulling on us. So and think about how many times we step or how many times we jump, how many times we compress. We do so... A little bit off track. Think how many times we're told from the day we're born, no, as opposed to yes. So we're indoctrinated with contraction.
Hmm.
So expansion, thought, belief, body expansion, that's where our body wants to be. A body that is fed better, oxygenated better is a long, lean body. Even if you have really dense muscular tissue, you can still stretch that out and create an action that draws in blood, that draws in energy, that draws in oxygen. So long and strong, or length with strength, is just something I say to kind of drive the point home of, we don't have to be in here. We can be so strong and be out, and we can be strong through our fingers. I mean, you've seen in movies people who could say, I could do anything with this thumb. Be Like Water, Bruce Lee.
Oh, yeah.
He talked about it all the time. There's incredible power in every inch of your body. It's you centering it and drawing from that center through your whole body to empower that power.
Mm-hmm.
So length with strength is just one of my mantras about being expanding the muscle tissue, expanding the posture, standing tall. Think of a tree. A tree is wanting to grow, and again, there are exceptions, but there's tree is wanting to grow straight up. The healthiest place a tree could be is growing straight up, because its energy is all in one force. A tree that's leaning, fighting gravity, is now fighting gravity. So part of its energy source is being used to fight falling. We're doing that in our bodies. The way we sit, the forward head posture, the sway back, the collapsed arches, our bodies are collapsing. So we're literally spending a part of our energy source fighting that. And the more we can stand erect, the more we can open up our lungs, open up our heart, open up our digestion, open up our muscular tissue, open up our spine. These are all systems that need adjusting. And mm-hmm. Length with strength is just one of the mantras.
One of the other things I learned, I guess, in the practice and going to yoga that I probably didn't pay attention to before, is because I'm trying things that I've never done before, but I'm finding, I guess, weaknesses or things that hurt me when I do them a little bit. I feel a little bit of discomfort. And so that's my limit there on how far I can stretch or what have you. Or, man, it hurts when I pull my hip in like this.
Yeah.
It's because I used to kick the bag too much with my right leg. So my right hip is always bugging me. But we discover those things when we go into an environment that's foreign to us and we move in ways that we haven't done before. And so I think I wonder about the vulnerability piece of this. So when I went in, I was feeling sort of vulnerable. I wanted to work out, but then I'm kind of a little bit nervous about going to yoga with, you know, people a lot younger than me. And, you know, I'm starting at the beginning. But I feel like that discovery piece of trying to fit in a world where I didn't think I belonged necessarily, and then also discovering, go ahead and face my weaknesses and kind of chip away at them over time. And so that's kind of what's been kind of like the the thing that I like the most is like, I've discovered these little weaknesses. And now I'm just kind of chipping away at them. And it's fun to see them almost dissolve.
So let me ask you this. When you walk out of a hot yoga class, do you feel great?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I would think a vast majority of people do. If you didn't feel great, then I doubt you would be doing it for very long.
Right.
If you didn't like the experience on some level, then I doubt you would be doing it for very long. And of course, there are exceptions. So yoga is brilliant in the fact that it will get you, if it's taught correctly, to move the whole body, including the parts of the body that you're not used to moving. And how many stretch moves are involved in CrossFit?
Yeah, it's completely different.
It's power oriented. Yes. It's power driven.
Today we had box jumps. I fell on the thing and cut my leg open again.
Yeah. Well, so then your work is slightly different than somebody else's who may do a lot of stretching in their day or just not doing a lot of compression stuff. So, or may just be really chronically flexible. And their work is to pull back of that flexibility a little bit and coordinate more with proper joint alignment and heal that way. Less is more for them. Mm-hmm. So every body is different. Every history is different. So we come into yoga. If we enjoyed enough, we're probably going to come back. I'm a regular guy. I'm not a cliche yogi in terms of, you know, kirtan or go to the mountaintop or sit under the Bodhi tree. I'm just a regular guy who has a posture belief, who studied it as much as I've studied anything in my life, and just have a strong belief in what I'm doing. And I see it every day, the results for people. You know, we're in the summer challenge, you know, at Eastwind Yoga, and the people are doing all these yoga classes during the summer months. Just to see in 1 month what people are creating, it just validates that it works. So if you like it and you feel good after it, why wouldn't you keep going? And then if you've got somebody or teachers, and we have such a phenomenal teaching community, that make you feel at home, you know, it's like the old Cheers thing. You walk in, Mark, what's up, Mark? You know, that's community. And everybody wants to be a part of fun.
They do.
And that community is so fun. And I hike with them, I bike with them, I rock climb with them, I've rafted with them, I've skydived with them, I've done so many things with this group. It's like my extended family. And that is priceless.
Well, there's so many ways I can take this conversation, because I have it on my mind to talk about how you have built this tribe. And so I guess I'll segue into that, but I want to be able to come back to the body a little bit, and then also to the mind. I want to, because when I write down my mantras and so on. And so to me, I have my acronym is SENT: sleep, exercise, nutrition, and thought. That's how I sort of break down the me of it. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about thought and exercise today. But I think building a tribe is something I'm doing around here. So you mentioned I'm a venture capitalist, but I'm rallying the leaders of Sacramento to support the most promising startups in the region. So besides being a venture capital guy, I'm building a tribe. So I'm tribe. I'm tribe oriented. I was a guy in high school that threw the parties and all that, similar maybe to where you were. So now I'm trying to, how do we take that to venture capital? So I'm intrigued by the tribe, even though I'm not one of the people that's out hiking with you guys, but I see the tribe. I'm an observer, and I see the tribe being built, being strengthened through these activities. But I also see you as you say, you're an ordinary guy. You know, I always tell my wife, I'm going hot with Scott, but I mean, you're like Scotty the Hottie right around there. You have this tribe that is being built around you, right? And around your celebrity status within the tribe at some level. It's not, so to me, that's my viewpoint. So now maybe talk to me about this tribe and kind of like, how do you do it? Besides just saying, hey, we're going hiking or we're going rafting. It's more than that.
Well, it's It's how you interact with people and how people feel after interacting with you. So one of my mantras is to have people feel better about themselves after every interaction with me. It's actually a fairly new mantra for me, and I've been trying to work into that. The challenge for me is I'm an introvert by nature.
Interesting.
So I like alone time. I like quiet time. So to go out and do an extroverted thing like I do with yoga and with hiking and all these other things that I do, it's very easy for me to draw back to being an introvert and to close off a little bit, which is kind of contrary to what you're talking about in terms of building this community. So what for me, my way is different from another teacher's way, is different from another teacher's way. And let me tell you something. These teachers are creating this community. They, we look at, call it an octopus, and I have my tentacle, mm-hmm. and so-and-so has her tentacle, and so-and-so has her tentacle, and he has his tentacle. Well, these people are going out there, and they're building this community way beyond what I'm doing.
Is that new, though? Is that, I mean, because I'm seeing that happen as well, now that you mention it, and so I've seen it happen with the other teachers, but I don't know that I noticed it like the first day I stepped foot in there.
No,
it's
been happening.
Oh, okay.
The challenge is that if the core person of the studio, and if I'm the core person of the studio, what do I do? What do I believe? What do I encourage? And if I don't go out and make community and I don't encourage it, or let's say I try to create so many rules that stifle people instead of get people to expand, then it's really not going to be conducive to a community being built that is dynamic and expanding almost every freaking day. So if I do that and how I do that works, then everyone else has the platform for which to go out and do it themselves. And they're all doing it in different ways. I mean, you look at one of my teachers yesterday, Melissa, and her partner, Paul, do these sound healings. I mean, the energy and effort they come into hours before this sound healing workshop and set up these musical instruments and to hear them talk is one of the first times I've actually sat down and listened to them talk about, you know, what they're doing in this healing. There's so much energy and passion behind it. They can't be rewarded enough for what they're doing. And that sound healing is healing. Vibration. We're vibration. Our bodies, vibration is healing. Breath is vibration. We need to breathe more. We need to breathe more dynamically. We need to breathe to thrive, not just breathe to live. So what these teachers are doing goes way beyond me.
So yesterday, I got back from Cabo late Saturday, so I slept in and went to a 9 o'clock class with Melissa yesterday. She wanted me to ask you who her favorite teacher is. I'm like, hey, by the way, she called. That was interesting.
Tell her yes. You said yes.
So yeah, I threw it out to the group. I guess she threw it out to us for kind of like anybody wants to say anything in the class. And I'm like, I stay on the down low, or you know, I stay a little more. I'm a little more introverted too. But yesterday, I decided to bring it up that you were coming on the class and the show today, and. So anyway, I think hopefully...
tell her hopefully yes. That was my answer. Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, so I want to talk about breathing because that's one of the things that I underappreciated prior to yoga. You know, we always hear, take a deep breath and it's good for stress. Okay, I never really did that too much. Never really thought that way. But then when I got into your class, one day I was hit hard during your class, and you asked me, you know, how was the class? I'm like, man, I had trouble controlling my breathing today. And it really got me thinking about all the ways that you were explaining how to breathe. And I really began to adopt your methodology for getting through a class. And now, I mean, I really feel like that's helped me beyond, I think it's helped me in CrossFit. It's helped me in your class for being able to survive the pain that I'm going through in your class. But I also find myself doing it other times during the day when I'm not going through something painful.
Well, breathing's a life practice, not just a yoga practice. So yeah. When we are in stress, there's a way, breath will get us through it. If we trust it and have a history of being deep in it, breath will get us through it. So in yoga, there's pranayama, which is life force direction. There's all forms of directing breath. participate in that as much as I probably should in terms of teaching it to my class or bringing it into the class. What I try to get people to do is, no matter where they are in an asana, whether their standing thigh is shaken or they're on a Bosu ball on one leg shaken or their leg is on fire, whatever, whatever's happening in that moment, whatever fire they're feeling, can you relax and breathe? And if you can do that, if you can breathe in it, then you can be in it. But if you can't breathe in it, and why do we not breathe? Well, first off, we don't set the table to breathe. We don't set the structure. And second, we don't have an intention to breathe. And three, we have these tension habits that block energy. So if we're habitual in tension, it's kind of hard to be habitual in breathing.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to get some coaching here from you on my breathing, because when I go to these classes, whether it be you or Melissa or whatever, we're always being reminded to breathe. And by the way, one of the things that happens in a East Wind yoga class, I don't know if it happens there other places, but there's this almost like this buildup, and then there's like the hard work, and then there's kind of a, you come down on the other side and it gets easier again at some level. But at the beginning, part of what you're doing is kind of preparing, as you mentioned, and getting your breathing going. So what's helped me, I don't know if I'm breathing right. I know you breathe. Okay, breathe. And so I'm trying to take it all in, but I've never had the time to go, okay, here's what I'm doing. Does this seem right to you? So what I do, especially when I know I'm preparing and I know that I'm going to have to hold a warrior two position for a couple of minutes straight or something, which is, you know, basically for anybody listening, holding your arms out like a T, it gets tiring after a while and, you breathe through it. But the way I do it is, I take a very deep breath, as deep as I can get it in the moment, and then I let it out slow, like, it's sort of my way of like, oh, this is, I'm probably cussing at you underneath, but no, I'm not. Yeah. And then the person next to me, I know I can hear it. I'm loud to me, right? I feel like I'm loud because I'm in my own ears. Then Rachel, who's next to me at your morning classes occasionally, goes, nobody else wants to get next to me in the class. Typically, there's a little room. Unless Rachel shows up, then she's there. And I was complimenting her about being stoic, right? Because she never shows facial expression. She's like, well, you always remind me to breathe. And I'm like, oh, am I breathing loud? I'm self-conscious. So long story, long question, shorter, am I breathing right?
If you are, well, intuitively, what do you feel?
It feels right to me. Okay, so like my pain, it's a way for me to deal with the pain.
So again, you're pretty dramatic here, Mark. So is it real pain?
Are you not in pain when you hold a Warrior II for, I don't know, is it 2 minutes? I don't know you don't use a real stopwatch. You have your own little.
Oh, yeah. And I'm a sailor at heart, so it's a sailor's clock. So it's not exact, and I can't quite see the stars.
I just look around, and other people's arms are flopping. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to be last to go down.
So our edge is that place where we explore what's next.
Okay.
So to go to that edge where that muscle is on fire, and if we can hold and that breath flow, see, you have to be relaxed to an extent to take deep breaths. You're not gonna crunch. If you're gonna jump into a 60-foot pool and swim all the way down the bottom, you're not gonna crunch your shoulders together and take a deep breath. You're gonna relax as much as you can, take a deep breath, soften, and then jump in. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to hold a lot of tension. You're not going to squeeze your fist. You're not going to squeeze your toes. You're not going to build tension before you jump into a pool and hold the breath for enough time that it takes you to go down 60 feet.
Right.
So if you just understand the concept of that, then like I said earlier, part of the reason we don't breathe is we have so much tension. So if we let go of tension and just work on breath. So a few weeks ago, I dealt with this person that she came in there and she asked about the yoga and she asked about the heat. And in our conversation, she had anxiety. And that's one of my things. I always want to go right into that. I always want to attack that.
Attack where they're nervous or where they're anxious?
Well, what that means to them. Because again, they're all just words. So what, I got to find out what that means to that person. And I said, have you ever been relaxed? And she said, yeah. I said, in that moment, do you have anxiety? She said, no. I said, okay, so just be open to the idea that you don't have it all the time, that it's not you, and it's just a state of your body. Okay, so I told her, I wish I could create a state of anxiety for you right now, because from there, if we could release that and breathe to it, you would know that's always available to you. So laid her down on the ground, put my hand underneath her lower back, and just had her breathe to my hand. And then she took about 15 breaths. I said, okay, go back to when you had anxiety. Do you remember what you were doing? And all of a sudden her breath left my hand. I said, you just realize you're no longer breathing to my hand. So come back to my hand, reconnect with breathing to my hand. And then I said, okay, can you go back to that time when you had anxiety? She left her breath again. Finally, she was talking about that place of anxiety and she was breathing. I said, you feel differently about it now? Well, of course she's going to feel a little bit differently because she's not in that moment, in that experience. But still, she realized that she could still go back there and breathe. And in the moment of breathing and taking long 6 second inhales, 6 or 8 second exhales, our body's not going to be stressed. And she felt that as much as she could feel it being in a yoga room and in that environment, not in the environment that tends to cause her stress.
Okay, so people, I hear other people breathing. I think maybe guys more than women, I hear the guys breathing, maybe we're louder. But occasionally I hear people breathing and it's more like, maybe a little bit more like what I used to do at CrossFit, which was...
Yeah.
Right. They're like out of breath and they're having a hard time catching their breath.
Just like we can drink water to get dehydrated, we can breathe to tension. Huh. We can breathe to limit our breath. So the way you just inhaled, your neck veins and shoulders all came to life. You brought tension into your neck. Take a deep breath that doesn't even get above your collarbone. Work on that. Work on an expanded breath. That doesn't even get to your collarbone. Now go into your most intense physical experience, whether it's CrossFit or hot yoga, and take that breath again. So now the end of it is that you are in a physical stress, which is a good thing. We fight bad stress with good stress. The end of it is that you're relaxed in it, and that's a part of the muscle memory that we want to create. Because everything we're doing, like you're sitting or what you're doing with your fingers or your hands or your ears, we're creating muscle memory. You know, look at my hands.
You notice the craziest things about us.
Yeah, well, look at my hands. I just realized my hands have been out here. I don't recall ever sitting here talking to somebody having my hands out here, but right now my hands are out here.
We have this on YouTube too, by the way, so we're going to see it.
There you go. If I go back and watch this, I'll see where did that come from? So whatever we're doing, we're building a muscle memory of. So in yoga, when we are, or anything, when we're physical, then, and we can take long, deep, patient breaths that aren't tension building, but more tension releasing, energy moving, then we can also create the muscle memory of being really strong, really long, really flexible, and really relaxed. And all you have to do is go study Bruce Lee. Here's a guy that did, I mean, just look at him when he strikes. It's muscular and it's energy, but it's not tension before it. He's totally relaxed.
Well, another thing that I feel like I think I already knew this intuitively, is I'm the type of guy that shows up early. If you're not early, you're late. That's my mentality. And so, and I also have this belief that the more times we're at our very best, at our very best opportunity, I call it banging, right? You're in the zone. Maybe it's in the flow. The more that we're in that, that's where you get the change, right? That's where you get the improvement. So how do I put myself in a position to be at my very best at something today, right? So I get there early. I'm typically doing a little extra stretching and stuff so that when you start the class, I'm pretty present already. I think maybe comparatively, I'm ready. But what you do and what your teachers do, your methodology, is you get us present. I mean, it's part of the beginning of the class is finding this get yourself focused, right? And get yourself really present. And I have found that to be, a huge help to me. Even though I feel like I'm already ready, I'm already stretched. I'm the guy that shows up ready for the game in my own mind. But then you do something to bring us even more present. Talk to us about that philosophy, I guess. And do you have that same belief that where we get to change is when we're testing that limit of being at our very best? If you're not trying your hardest, like putting...
So your hardest is different every day.
Okay.
So what guides you to do more or do less? And if we go with breath as that guide, then some days, because you're not at your physical peak every day. So some days when you come in onto your mat, your breath being your guide, if you can maintain that stable flow of breath, then you can be at your edge. And as long as you can keep breathing, you can keep expanding, then your breath is still your center point, if you will. It's the place from which you are gauging to go more or to go less. And then if you can't, and that's why I ask people during yoga, can you talk in this? I start asking them questions, because if they can't have a conversation, they're not at ease, which means they're at stress, and we want to get them to pull back a little bit and relax. In the beginning of class, it's about presence. What I do, and I've recently kind of gone through a self-reevaluation, is what's next in my teaching practice? What's next? What's next? What's next? And one of the things that came up for me was to give people more time in stillness at the beginning of class and with me not talking. So I don't know if you've noticed this, but you were gone for a week. I have had people at least 7 or 8 minutes in sitting, sit tall, be tall to start, sitting in stillness. And then I'll say a few things here and there, but for the most part, it's about being still. It's about turning on the internal gaze. What do you see? Watch your words. Catch that first word that you witness. Hold on to it. Concentrating the mind. Bringing yourself into present moment and into body in a dynamic way. So we don't bring people to present moment. People either are there or they're not, and they're there and they're not. So what we just try to guide, we just try to facilitate, and in the moment of presence, we are conscious choosers. But how often do we do things that aren't conscious? So in those moments, we aren't present. So there's no arrival in yoga. It's a journey of a cave that will never have an end to it. We will always find something new if we're willing to step into the cave.
And anybody who's listening who hasn't been to Eastwind, I'm characterizing it in I'm seeing it from my frame of reference. It is also for people that don't want to push the athletic side of it as hard as what I'm describing it at the moment. Because there's this encouragement to rest when you need it and go into, there's a pose called a child's pose that is kind of feels to me like a resting, stretching sort of position. And we're encouraged to get there if that's right for us. And so it's not for the person who's saying, give me a little more pain, coach, right? It's not for that necessarily. So I think it's interesting how it's for a wide range of people.
It's for anybody who's willing to get in their physical body, go inside and witness their own relation to getting to their physical body. And there's running to and there's running from. When we run to rest, we're not running from anything. We're running to our body's need for rest. And if our breath is broken, it's being compromised, then we need to stop. We need to slow down. We need to stay in balance to create that harmony. Then we need to be in rest as in work. And then sometimes we need to run to work. We need to work harder. Maybe we've had a lazy weekend, or maybe we whatever brought you out of balance in terms of I just feeling lazy, I'm feeling sluggish, I'm feeling low energy. Well, then let's get the heart rate going. Let's get the legs moving. You know, I'm a huge hiker. Let's get out there and climb a hill that gets you to feel your heart. The whole idea behind us opening during COVID was I just believed in my heart without a shadow of doubt that it was the right thing to do to offer yoga during COVID.
I needed it. It was a stressful time for me. I'm a business guy with own a bunch of businesses, and each of them, I had flashbacks from 2008 financial crisis, which was really hard on me, hard on my businesses and stuff. But it wasn't as bad on our businesses, but I was stressed about it, and you know, nobody coming into the office. So I needed yoga. It was really a great stress relief. I don't think I'm alone in this huge appreciation for having a stress release at that time. And maybe some people are still going through that, but there's a couple months there, and I guess.
Well, we closed for almost 2 months.
Oh, you did?
We closed for March. Yeah. So when they went through the big shutdown in California, I did shut down for 2 months, and then it just...
I must have came right after
that.
Yeah,
you must have, because it was... The voice in my head could never have been louder than it was. Get in there and follow your gut. Follow your gut, follow your heart, do what you know to be true, and teaching yoga was the right thing to do. And there was a ton of criticism, a ton of critique. A lot of people came at me and in their own ways, and... That's a part of that journey.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't resist it. I didn't get in too many conflicts about it. And because I don't know what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And, but for me, I just, you know, I talked to enough doctors and nurses. We have enough students who are doctors and nurses who were coming through during COVID that said, this is not the physical kind of space of which the virus is going to thrive in this hot, humid space. And that and other things, I just believed in my heart, the right thing to do was to offer yoga.
Interesting. And, you know, to go down, I don't want to go down the COVID rabbit hole too hard, but no. I got a buddy of mine who owns like the largest scissor company that sells into cosmetic and hair cutters. And he thought that it was interesting to see a group of society, small business people that probably lean a little left on average, become capitalists all of a sudden and let us stay open. And you know, that's why I started getting long hair. I mean, you've even teased me about my hair. A lot of people have because I grew it out during COVID, but because there's no place to get your hair cut. But it's interesting to see how people had to reframe how they saw things. But I want to get to the, in terms of like reframing the way we see things. One of the things that happens in yoga, at least in your classes, and I think it happens in some of the other classes as well with the other teachers, is you talk about us developing as people a little bit during class. There's a little bit of philosophical type stuff that runs through the exercise program, the physical side. So I think at a large standpoint, we get something in terms of, you know, these words of wisdom and these kind of things that go through the class. And sometimes you'll read something at the end of class that has meaning for us and how we might want to live our life or who we might want to become, our journey. Do you believe that we can manifest our outcome?
Absolutely. I believe we can't control the path that you go on to go from A to Z, but I do believe we can manifest arriving at Z.
Hmm.
I can use my situation as an example. When I, again, taught Bikram, I only taught for 6 months before I was opening up East Wind. Again, half the classes were hot and half the classes were flow, and I had never done a flow class, definitely never taught a flow class, and I was going to start teaching at a studio, of which I was the only teacher, and half the classes were going to be something I'd never taught before. It was very easy for people to say, what the heck are you doing? Why don't you just make it all hot? And I just believed in my heart something, and I just kept moving forward. And the human spirit will not invest itself in compromise. It's Robert Fritz. And I was inspired to learn a new thing while doing a new thing. So I literally learned it on the go, vinyasa and variety of static work from just beyond the 26 Bikram postures. And I loved it. And I had to do that to teach 3 classes a day for 6 months. I taught every class for 6 months. And then after that, I was down a couple classes a week, but still teaching every day. I taught every day for 8 years. Every day, except for a 5-day vacation, for 8 years. You only do that if you are in that place of expanding and seeing yourself and working on yourself. And I had gone through some personal growth experiences that changed my life in terms of perception and realizing that I need to look at myself first rather than blame the world. And I had some experiences through East Wind Yoga with some other teachers that sent me right back to what do I see in myself? What is my role in this? And what am I going to do about it? And it's life-changing. That will forever be with me. And this studio, this community, these teachers, these students changed my life. And I will forever, I don't foresee a time when I won't have a passion for teaching. And I will constantly be renewing and rejuvenating and asking what is next. You know, we talked about Robert Fritz and the highway and all that mm-hmm. stuff. This may be a good lead into that. I believe we're always creating. You know, you're sitting on the couch drinking a beer, watching your 5th episode of Yellowstone, you're creating. What are you creating? Whether it's intentional, probably not, but you're creating.
You got a camera in my house?
So in regards to manifestation, I did the Tony Robbins firewalk, and that was 2 days. And it was a day and a half of training the mind to think of wet moss. And we did it in all kinds of ways. And it got to the point where now you're about to walk through 12 feet of coals. And these are real coals. This is no joke. These little flames popping up, they're a real deal. And you know, you've trained the mind to realize wet moss is your physical experience. Now let's go walk on these coals. Turn right back around, wet moss, walk through those coals again. And then I felt a little pain in my toe and I realized there's a coal in my toe. It's burning me. And in that moment, I got a little burn. And that just reminded me of how powerful our brain is, how our mind is. And from there, I have... You know, if you look at creation or manifestation, to me, the universe is always in a state of creation. It's always in a state of vibration. It's always in a state of creation. So the story that I tell, the analogy that I use, is if you think about a endless lane highway with an endless number of vehicles going at all kinds of speeds in one direction, you don't just park to align with that creation and manifestation energy, vibration. You don't just drive your car out there and take a right and go. You have to merge into it. So how do you do that? Structural thinking, pattern thinking, go out. I'm a huge believer in being outside and being in the surroundings that aren't bound by ceilings and walls and floors, where you have endless rivers and endless trees and endless skies and endless trails, endless breath, endless oxygen. So to go out there and then a way of thinking, how can I think, going back to what I said earlier, how many times are we told no as opposed to yes? So how do we shift that to how can I rather than why can't I? And if that's a default way of thinking, you know, then we're setting ourselves up to succeed a heck of a lot more than we're setting ourselves up to fail.
So I have these, what some people might see is like almost like these grandiose sort of vision of where I want to be in these areas in 4 different areas of my life. I touched on it one day with you. I talked about Haneyville, my family compound mm-hmm. we're building, right? Most magical place on earth outside Disneyland to me. Do you think that we generally speaking set our vision a lot lower than what we should, And if we set them higher, if we set the vision a little bigger, would we be more inspired to get there?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think if we strive for success, we'll create our own failure. But if we strive for excellence, we'll create success. And what I mean by that is, if you just have, I think everybody dreams big dreams, being rock star, being rich, being whatever their dreams are. I think everyone has dreams. Where they have deliberate, intentional dreams, that's a different story. But we all dream, we all fantasize. So with that said, if we align ourselves with action, that is, how can I thought, then, and we guide ourselves with going on the path of least resistance, which is the Robert Fritsch book that I talked to you about. You just, you know, in something that you've created, the Haney compound, think of an action that you took to make that happen. Did you really have to go into a whole lot of thought and a whole lot of debate about taking that action?
I think once you've set the, exactly. For me, once I've set the dream, and I made it more than a dream. Like, I believe if you go ahead and dream big, whatever it is, me, I'm about family and igniting an entrepreneurial revolution in the hometown I love, stuff like that, that sounds kind of grandiose, but now, then I just take action. I don't know if it's going to take me a year, 2 years, 10
exactly.
years, 20, but I'm like
exactly.
doing stuff that's fun that leads me in that path.
Exactly. You can't control the end result. You can't control how the process unfolds. All you can control is what you've envisioned and what you've created, what you do, what you actually do. Yeah. So that's the thought process mechanism that we have that either is do or do not. And if you think about, if you ask people, what do you want to create in your life? A lot of time, or how healthy do you eat? They'll tell you what they don't eat. You know, I don't drink soda. We literally think as human beings all more about what we don't do than what we do do.
Right.
So if we simply aligned, we've all been master creators, something that we've done that nothing was going to stop us from doing it. I can tell you this, learning to walk. Did we have a bunch of debate? Did we have a bunch of self-doubt? Do we have a bunch of ego involved as a child, as an infant, learning how to walk, learning how to crawl, learning how to sit up? No, we just did. It's only through the construct that was created through our lives that we start hearing and thinking, no, we can't. We're limited, and creating that limited belief. So if we go back to how can I, and we just be the river doesn't sit there and say, okay, now there's a tree in front of me. Let's have a meeting. Let's figure out what are we going to do? No, it's the power builds and either goes up, goes under, goes around. It's all it does. It is the river. So there's no consciousness about it. It just does. Bruce Lee, be like water. Don't flow. And that's what he did with his martial art. He took the routine out of it, the rigidity out of it, and just said, go with your moment. Be like water. So, and what's more powerful than water? What's more powerful than water? So if we have that thought process of how can I, what do I want to do? Just do. We've all done it. It's already in our body. We all have the muscle memory. We have the mental muscle memory. So that's just what we need to do. But what do? We have this internal dialogue, left brain, right brain, left brain logic, right brain creating. And you can study them on an energetic level and realize how they conflict. How do we align them? So there's so many parts to creating, but I think it boils down to what is our belief system? If it's a limited belief system or an expanded belief system, how can I rather than why can't I? Like my mother right now, she sold all of her belongings. She's living Airbnb to Airbnb. You know how many times I've told people that? And they said, oh, I'd love to do that. Really? We will do more to avoid pain than we will to gain pleasure. So if you haven't done it yet, you associate more pain to doing it than pleasure of not doing it.
And your mother's happy doing that. That's
real.
She loves it.
It's the life she created for us. Yes, she had a beautiful home. She had a beautiful home that required work, required she had beautiful property.
and had an amazing view. I begged her not to sell it. But her pain was in the work that this house required her to be involved in, where it didn't have to be that way, but that's what her belief was. So
she manifested her outcome and she's doing it. And so I want to say, what is your, like, I want to know where you, like, what Z, you said you can manifest your way to Z. What is that for Scott?
So I am working on a couple things with a friend that on a financial basis is going to give me. So one of the things I've learned to love is backpacking, is being outdoors for days and even weeks at a time. Done the Tahoe Rim a couple times. So right now what I'm working on is creating other revenue streams that will allow me to pull back a little bit more on teaching and allow me to go out and do more of these 3-day, 4-day backpacking trips. Other than that, I love my life. I love my friends. I love my community. I am never lonely. And, you know, I have a 4-love mantra. Love what you do. Love where you live. Love who you are. And love who you're with. And I ask people that, I'm to do it all the time, and they'll say, yeah. And I say, you say yeah very quickly. Do you truly love it? Is your soul inspired in that way? And then they'll pull back a little bit and say, well, it could be, okay, so now what work are you doing on that?
Right.
So love what you do, love who you're with, love who you are, love where you live. If you love those four, how can you not be thriving? How could you not be thrilled with your life? And I feel I love all four of those.
I don't know that many people that feel, I feel like I'm in that world, in that zone somewhere as well. But I was at yoga with somebody this morning, went to yoga this morning too after CrossFit. And the person was playing hooky from work. They think I'm working or something like that, right? No, they think I'm at work, right? So in other words, what I heard is, I don't like my job that much, but I do like yoga. That's the way I took it. I didn't dive deep into that. But there are a lot of people that are working for the weekend, playing for the paycheck, you know, can't wait to go. I mean, I like going on vacation, but Scott will tell you, this Scott over here, my teammate, I'm sort of like doing whatever, I do whatever I want all day long anyway, which is like, I get to talk to people like you about life and how to win and stuff like that. So to me, this is fun. This is interesting. I wouldn't be doing anything else other than maybe Cabo or watching Yellowstone. You know, that's the things I like to do. That's what I do.
I love it.
So I feel lucky that I found that, right? That I just decided to do only what I want. But there aren't that many people like that. I haven't met that many people like that.
So we really don't, first off, we really don't know about people. So at the same way that you said that person doesn't, you took it as, and you went with it.
Yeah,
by
yeah.
That was your own projection that 100%. They didn't like their work. The same person could have said it when you said, yeah, during those financial times, I was a little stressed. I was a little bit afraid for my business.
Yeah.
There's a person who's not doing the right work.
Right.
That person easily could have said that about you.
100%.
Could easily come up with that same judgment. So we know a lot less than we know of. So if we could really pull back and man, I'm speaking to the man in the mirror when I say this, what do I not know?
Yeah.
What do I not know about why somebody is doing what they're doing? I will say this, anybody who's practicing yoga, like we do at Eastwind Yoga, they are creating something that is to me, a pivotal foundation block for thriving. And that is feeling great. Feeling great. When we feel great, especially when we've earned it, not just wake up in a good mood, but we've worked hard. We've hiked 300 straight days. We've done 25 days of yoga. We've done 80 classes in 90 days. We just did a double yesterday. When we feel great, we're much more in a place to manifest than we are in a place to not. Okay. And
I think you're right.
If people that are in that room are doing something special, hopefully they stick with it.
Okay. Two more questions. I'll let you wrap. Misty, saw her at CrossFit today. She also goes to Eastwind. I don't think she goes like I do, but She wanted to know if you were still doing your hiking every day for whatever the 2 years straight or whatever this has been. And then what's the best trail? She wanted me to ask you that. Again, she asked me that this morning.
Again, tell Misty the trail that pushes her to her edge that has the sound of a river near it and so forth. Yes, you're still hiking. We've actually changed some of the hike days to bike days. So we're getting into mountain biking. There's a core group of about seven of us that have from the beginning been a part of this hiking group. And for those that are listening that don't know what we're talking about, when we closed the studios, I said I was going to continue to lead this community on a hike every single day until this COVID thing was over. So here we go. We're still going. So some days, in all honesty, I will just go down to like on Saturdays after I've taught two morning classes. I'll come back at some time on a Saturday and just go downtown Auburn. And I have a little 2 mile track that go up to the railroad tracks mm-hmm. behind the high school. And, you know, and that's my hike. So not all the hikes are these elaborate 7 mile steep hill climbers, cross the rivers and so forth. But yes, we are still moving. We are still doing it. Keep the body moving.
Keep your good habits, my friends.
I can't say it enough that we need to be, like I said, align with that universal energy of flow to be out there to keep expanding. How else, what's new? What's beyond what I see? I remember doing the Tahoe Rim trip and I was hiking on my own had a goal to do 22 miles a day. And I just got myself, and I caught myself doing this in this space of just watching my feet. And I really wasn't watching all this amazing specter around me. And so I created the mantra, whenever you catch yourself just performing, stop and look beyond your feet, look beyond the floor, look beyond the dirt and look around. And that changed my entire hike for the next 5 days is I stopped a lot more and I just appreciated what was out there. And it became more of an expanded experience than just 22, got to have my 10 miles in by 10 a.m. You know, just that regimen, which didn't move spirit. Spirit, again, needs expansion. We need to be challenged. We need to be thinking, what else? What is beyond? And to appreciate the amazing glow of that light, to appreciate the fact that I have a Scott and you here asking me questions and I got to talk about what I'm passionate. These are gifts. And to appreciate the now and value as well the what else? How can I?
Love it.
How can you not succeed if you're always doing that? As long as you take a serious accountability of your structure patterns, and again, The Path of Least Resistance by Robert Fritz, I can't suggest it enough. If you're taking risk, if you're looking inward first, because we get so caught up in what others are doing, if we truly look inward first and say, what is my role in that? We will always be expanding. We will always be saying, okay, let me try it this way.
Love it.
I tried to download that on Audible and I couldn't find it. I think it must be only in paper copy, Path of Least Resistance.
Yeah.
I haven't been reading lately. I've been listening.
I've never been a big reader. I've always been a passage reader. Huh. I always read like a passage or two or three. I've never been a chapter to chapter. There's probably only three or four books in my life that I've read chapter to chapter in Path of Least Resistance. I've read twice.
Path of Least Resistance. Okay. So last question, Path of Least Resistance. What did I not ask you that that we need to share about, I guess, being happy in life, loving the different areas of your life? What else did I not ask you that would maybe resonate with your community or our audience? I don't want to talk about the Broncos, okay, or football.
That's just Old Creek good karma for both of us, and good things will come of that. What are you doing today? I mean, what are you doing today first off, do you even have a clue? I would ask everybody this. Do you have a real clear vision of what you want to create in your life? And I don't mean the job title. I don't mean exactly where you want to live. And that could be a part of it. Mm-hmm. If you see it so clearly, like you saw having a child, mm-hmm. you knew you were going to be a mom. There was no debate. There was no Yeah, whatever you've created in your life that you knew you were going to do and there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it and you did it and no one was going to stop you, good and bad. We've done some stupid things. If you align yourself with that, do you have that kind of vision for the grand picture of what you want to manifest in your life? And if you don't, start looking at your beliefs every day. Start looking at your beliefs about every single thing that you experience. And is it limiting? Or limited, or, and we don't, see, we human beings love to have the answers. And if we don't know the answers, what do? We become storytellers. I was talking to a student today about this. We become storytellers. So if we don't know, we start to imagine this is why. We need to dot our I's and cross our T's, put a little bow on everything. We have a hard time walking away going, I don't know, and I'm okay with that. We just don't. So the more we're okay with I don't know, then we open. The more I know, and again, I'm speaking to the man in the mirror. The more I know, the more I don't know, the more I open up and receive. And because you said it out there, no one creates a team.
Yeah, nobody creates a truly great company alone. Yeah,
exactly. So you had to expand to bring those people in. You could not contract. One of my favorite movies is this Steve Jobs movie. Mm-hmm. And if you see that, he was 100% about creation, 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 creation. So where he was out of balance were in relationships. But his relationship seemed to be, because I don't know him, and I only read part of his book and only watched the movie. But it seemed to me that he was just focused on the creation of the product, and you know, the relationship suffered. So again, it's balance. Look inward first. He was such a man on a mission that he rarely looked inward, as far as I could see. Mm-hmm. He was always just do. And as he had a daughter that he alienated, and all these other people, these relationships that he alienated, you know, there was a little bit of balance that was missing, but he was a masterful creator.
Well, Scott, I want to thank you for helping change my life in such a positive way. Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for what you do for the rest of the East Wind community. And definitely, I think being able to picture where you're going in that journey of hiking for your epic trips that you'll be taking for this new expanded part of your life, is I look forward to hearing how that goes. And I think the rest of the East Wind community for sure got a deeper glimpse into you, what makes you tick. And it's just, we're super lucky to have you.
I'm lucky to have the people I have in my life. Thank you. Thank you.
You bet.
Now, let's get Mark's perspective and closing thoughts from today's show. We're back to the Marquee Media Studio. It's the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show. And you know what? I do have to say how appreciative I am of Scott Emmerich, Hot with Scott, Scotty the Hottie, as I like to tease him, because he has a tribe and it's not all guys, right? There's a lot of women involved in that tribe that he's building at East Wind Yoga. And it really is something special that he's doing. So I'm thankful for what he is doing for our community, but I'm really appreciative of what he's doing for me personally, and the way he's helped me discover how yoga can affect me and change my life. And I'm hooked, I'm loyal, and filled with gratitude. And you know, that's how I feel about the entrepreneurs of the Sacramento region as well, and the investor community that we've got rallying around the most promising startups. And you know, that's happening at the Growth Factory. And if you're interested in getting involved with that, you can, of course, hit me up on Instagram or any of the social media channels at the Mark Haney. You can swing by my offices here at Haney Biz or at the Growth Factory now, is what it says on the outside of the door on Granite Drive in Rockland. Or, of course, go online, growthfactory.us, and go to GFX, right? That's our event that's coming up on August 25th, I believe it is. And so you can sign up going to the Growth Factory website. And I want to know you. I want to meet you. If you are an entrepreneur, if you are an investor in town, I want to get you involved in our community if that's something that you feel like would be meaningful for you. So to all you out there, fight the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. And of course, all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship, we're never above you. We're never below you. We're always by your side. This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.